Good morning. Chodesh Tov. Okay, so two very quickly today, maybe we'll have a shorter version. There's a Rashi about Moshe's inability to enter the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. V'lo yachal Moshe lavo el ol moed ki shachan alav he'anan. Very strange way to end the parsha. Moshe is unable to enter the Beis HaMikdash because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is so deeply felt. Now, this contradicts the fact that Moshe was always in the Beis HaMikdash speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Bamidbar, Rashi quotes the pasuk, "V'va Moshe el ol moed." So, the answer is that sometimes he was, sometimes he wasn't. But Rashi builds an entire structure, an entire landscape around this. He says, Pasuk echad omer uviva Moshe lo moed. Pasuk echad omer v'lo yachal Moshe. How could you have two psukim that associate one another? Achieva kosav al shlishi v'yachriya b'nehem. Namely, the 13th midah, the Yirgil midah, is, anyone know how it's said, what's the lashon in Rabbi Shmuel's Brisa? What? Shnei ksivim? Achieva kosav al shlishi. Rashi is, of course, quoting the Medrash. What does that mean when you have a two psukim? All of Torah is reading psukim and putting them together and finding resolutions and finding this pasuk applies to this stage and this pasuk applies to this stage. And of course, you'd read the psukim and you'd understand that in Parshas Bekudei Moshe couldn't enter the Aron, based on Mikdash. And in Parshas Bamidbar he was expected to enter. And why is this whole elaborate song and dance? That trope is a literary device, is used by Chazal. When the steer is not just the steer that you have to resolve. If I tell you, should I breakfast at 8:15, then I schedule shiur for 8:15. That's a contradiction. We'll solve it. Okay, we'll start shiur at 8:60. We'll work it out. When is this snake suvin? What's the language again? Sorry, I forgot. Hamachishim zeh. When each pasuk represents a different pole of avodas Hashem, and those poles are not meant to be compromised. And there's a paradox, and all of Avodas Hashem is a paradox for us because we're relating to something beyond us. And somehow, at a technical level, we'll have to find some way to resolve them, but not by compromising either one. What do I mean? As follows. Moshe's inability to enter the Beis HaMikdash is not just a technical, logistical deterrent. Why can't Moshe enter the Beis HaMikdash? The Mishkan? Because Hashem's presence is there. And Hashem's presence is so awe-inspiring, and it's so overwhelming, and it's so daunting. That's called Yiras Hashem. To know that you can't get close to Hashem, you'll never understand Hashem, you have to be intimidated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, keep your distance out of awe, not out of disinterest and lethargy, but out of, how can you even get close to the Mishkan when Hashem's there? On the other hand, you want to be close to Hashem, you want to love Hashem, you want to know Hashem. It's Avas Hashem. You want to walk into the Mishkan as Moshe does. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem are fundamentally contradictory. One is based on the recognition that you'll never know Hashem and you can't get close to Him literally and figuratively. Now, Avas Hashem is trying to be as close as you can to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you solve the paradox in our lives between Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? And says, you don't. In Rabbi Soloveitchik's thought, one of the most dominant themes is that paradox in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is latent because we're not like Hashem. When we try to relate to Hashem, there's going to be complicating, contradictory parts to our relationship. And if all you have is Yiras Hashem, there'll be no relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all you have is Avas Hashem, then you're going to treat Hashem like your kid brother, Chas V'Shalom. So in our world, there always has to be Ava and Yira on a collision course with one another. And there's no way to resolve them. So technically, maybe on Rosh Hashanah, you'll feel more Yira or more Ava and Yom Kippur. But that doesn't mean that you are nibbling away or compromising one. Okay, I'll make a compromise. Shir won't be today at 8:15, it'll be 8:60, and I'm suspending Shir at 8:15. You're never suspending the two, but the human being is incapable of feeling all of them all at the same time. You can't feel Ava, B'makom Yira, and Yira, B'makom Ava. We try our hardest. That's why we have Shnei Pesukim HaMachishim Zezze, because each pasuk is meant to be a standalone, insoluble, unassailable, irremovable pole. Now, practically, you have to find some way to solve them, but it's not a contradiction where you'll suspend one for the purpose of the other. Okay, we have a contradiction. Shir is at 8:15, breakfast is at 8:15. What should we decide? So that's why the Parsha ends with Moshe can't come to the Beis HaMikdash, yet in Bamidbar he comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the resolution is Ki Shachan Alav Hanan. The resolution is when Hashem's presence is deeply felt, he stays at a distance. When Hashem's presence is less deeply felt because the Anan isn't occupying the Mishkan proper, it's hovering above the Mishkan, the Moshe can enter. But I want you to realize that all of Torah, Shnei Pesukim HaMachishim Zeh, there's always phrases and and terms that have to be resolved, and our logic resolves them. This halacha, when the Torah says a mord pays nezek shalom and a tam pays chatzin nezek, we say shnei pesukim amachishim says atchiyava krosav shushevecher b'dam, that one is a tam and one is a mord. We know that there's sometimes you pay nezek shalom. All of Torah is making gradations and differentiations and categories, but when those categories can't be merged, those categories have to be autonomous and resolute and can't be merged, and then practically at the human level, they have to be somehow calibrated and managed. It's not really compromising, it's just being machriya. Tachlis, when should I enter the Mishkan? When should I not enter the Mishkan? It's very important to understand that when you read, whenever there's a shnei psukim alachishim zezeh. Last Rashi in the Parsha. Kenan Hashem ala Mishkan Yomam. The Anan was following the Mishkan during the day. The HT alai labo and the fire at night. The Nebeis Yisrael. B'chol Masehem. What does that mean, B'chol Masehem? So here there are two questions. First of all, why are we discussing Maseh? This is in Bamidbar. Maseh, well, we'll get to it. We're two sperm away. Who's discussing myself? So haven't yet started to travel. In Har Vayikra, they're sedentary. They're in one place. It's B'chol Masehem. But also, what does the word mean, B'chol Masehem? Does it mean while they're traveling? So Rashi solves the first one, and I'll elaborate the second. Rashi solves the second one, I'll elaborate the first issue. Rashi says, B'chol Masa Shayu Nosim, while they were traveling, Haya Enan Shochein B'makom Asher Yachanu Sham Chaniyasam. Doesn't mean that the cloud was hovering above the Mishkan while they were traveling, which is the literal meaning of the pasuk. B'chol Masahem, the Anan was hovering above the Mishkan. Now when they traveled, the Anan was this advanced scale to set the coordinates. So if we're traveling from point A to point B, the Anan preempted us and preceded us to point B and hovered above point B, as the location that we're intending to arrive at. So first of all, Rashi changes the literal meaning of the pasuk. B'chol Masahem doesn't mean that the cloud was hovering above the Mishkan while they were traveling, which is the way you and I would read the pasuk. It means that the cloud was there while they were traveling, but when they weren't traveling, it was hovering above the Mishkan. When they were traveling, it left the Mishkan to create a camp for the Jewish people. This is an amazing concept. That what's more important, Am Yisrael or the Mishkan? The answer is Am Yisrael. You think the Anan should be tethered to the Mishkan. And Hashem found some other way to target our set of coordinates. Hashem says, Am Yisrael's needs to find that next passage and that next journey's point are now more important. Because basically, without Am Yisrael, there's no Mishkan. Without Sefer HaGeulah and Am Yisrael being redeemed in Mitzrayim, there's no resolution and climax in Pekudei. Hashem says, if Am Yisrael has to get to the next space, I'm going to vacate the Mishkan and occupy that space for them. The Mishkan is wherever Am Yisrael is heading, essentially, if you want to say it in a different way. Mishkan is not the building. Mishkan is where Am Yisrael is heading for that moment. Now, of course, when we're stationary, the Mishkan is the Mishkan. But when we're not stationary, the Mishkan, not for Avoda, but for Hashem's presence, is some mountain or dune in the middle of the desert. It's an amazing, amazing way to end Parshas Pekudei. Because you think it's Mishkan, Aaron, Kruvim, no, Hashem says it's Am Yisrael. Chol Masehem, that point they're about to travel. You see a little sand dune over there with snakes and scorpions and scorched earth? That's where I'll be, not in the Mishkan. Wow. What an impressive statement about Am Yisrael. Finally, all the big day kahuna had these little strings of gold wrapped around all the other linens. Part of the wrapped around to provide or to create the fiber or whatever yarns. Now, how do you make gold into little strings? You have to hammer them out really, really thin. So they're very, very thin plates, and then you cut them into little strings. It takes a lot of art, craftsmanship, and engineering, and chemistry. Fine. How is this described? Pasuk Gimel, Vayiraku es pachei hazav. They took these big, large chunks of gold, and they made them thin to plates. Vayiraku. So Rashi says, Vayiraku means viradidu. They would make them thin. Viradidin. Constantly hit it and make it thin. And I'll prove to you that Vayiraku makes it thin. What does Rashi say? L'rokar etzalamayim. It's unclear whether it means the land was placed above the sea or the rakia was placed above the land in between the top waters and the lower waters. But essentially, this is a shout-out to Maisa Bereishis. Rashi is reminding us that the word Vayiraku is employed here. Torah could have described the manufacturer many times. It doesn't have to describe the manufacturer. Do you know how they made every single element? But the Torah is taking a word out of its time, out of its flow, to say that the manufacturer of the golden yarns was evocative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu placing the rakia between the top waters and the lower waters to create stability in our world and human space. Which means that the Mishkan is the spiritual complement to Bris Olam. Hashem created the world in Sefer Bereishis, and Hashem stabilized the world with our help in Sefer Shmos. And without the Rakia, the two waters would collapse on each other, there'd be no human space. And without this Rakia necessary to build the Mishkan, the spiritual world would collapse because there'd be no presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, the world vanishes, the world vaporizes. So Rashi's reminding us, take this word Vayakhu. There are other words in the Parsha and other words, you know, the famous word in Vayakhel and Pekudei that evokes Maisa Bereishis. Vayikale ha'am mehavi. What does that sound like? Vayikale. Vayichulu ha'shamayim baratz v'chol tzvam v'techel kol avodah. So that's a very, very important word in these two Parshios. Vayikale, vayichulu. But here you have the word vayiraku, and it could have been many different ways to talk about banging out metal. And Torah doesn't have to tell us this because it's implicit. Rashi says, by the way, the Torah is highlighting the word vayiraku because it sounds like rakia, the rokar, it's alamayim, or other psukim. That's yirakia b'zachamayim. These are three Rashi's in Parshas Pekudei. One is shem psukim avachishim zezah atyavakos rashi v'chir b'nem. This is a whole long song and dance to highlight that this isn't a resolution or a compromise or a suspension, but there's a collision course that can't be avoided. You have to try to find some way at the human level to calibrate and alternate, but essentially these two poles have to be maintained. Shnei psukim amachishim zetza, Yir and Ava, entering and keeping distant from the Mishkan. Number two, b'chol masehem, when they're traveling, the Shechina isn't hovering above the Mishkan. It's hovering not above, we would have read it's hovering above the Mishkan while they're traveling, b'chol masehem. Rashi says, no, it hovers above the location, the destination, because Am Yisrael will be heading there, and Hashem vacates the Mishkan to help Am Yisrael and assist them in their journey and target the next location. And finally, Vayiraku, Rashi says, to create these plates, it's like the Kodesh Baruch Hu created a plate to separate between the upper heavens and the lower heavens, upper waters, lower waters, because we're now building the earth like the Kodesh Baruch Hu created it. Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov. Even Bakuda has eight Rashi. Who would think Bakuda? Read all the Rashis. Where's on by?